March is National Nutrition Month, and Superbeats by Human wants to get your cardiovascular system back in rhythm. Did you know that the top health benefit that Americans want from their food or nutrients is cardiovascular health? But 38% feel confused about what to eat to achieve goals. Superbeats is a highly concentrated, scientifically formulated solution that supports healthy blood pressure levels and circulation. According to a recent announcement by the American Heart Association, 48% of Americans have some form of serious cardiovascular health issue, and 39% have unhealthy blood pressure. Superbeats helps boost your nitric oxide level, which is critical to healthy blood pressure levels and cardiovascular health. Try Superbeats risk-free for 90 days. Visit danasbeats.com to get this special offer. You'll even get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats with your first order at danasbeats.com and free nitric oxide indicator strips to test your nitric oxide levels. Visit danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617 now and get your heart moving to Superbeats.
She hasn't apologized. Does she need to apologize?
Well, maybe she may need to explain that she did not. It's up to her to explain. But I do not believe that she understood the full weight of the words. As I say, when you're an advocate out there, as I was, so I appreciate all the enthusiasm that comes into our Congress. I've told you that before. That was me pushing a stroller and carrying those signs. So I understand how advocates come in with their enthusiasms, but when you cross that threshold into Congress, your words weigh much more than when you're shouting at somebody outside. And I feel confident that her words were not based on any anti-Semitic attitude, but that she didn't have a full appreciation of how they landed on other people, where these words have a history and a cultural impact that might have been unknown to her.
No, I don't accept it. Nope. That is ridiculous. I want to let it be known right now. It is official that Democrats are now defending anti-Semitism and anti-Semitic remarks. It's official. And it's also official that Nancy Pelosi has been subjugated to the socialist, not so fringe anymore. The socialist aspects of her party have taken over. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. Oh, hell no. We're not having this conversation. I have watched these people the past 16 hours try to spin this. They've tried to spin her repeated remarks for years. Years, folks. 4 years. She has said this stuff. She was told about it in her own state. Before she even got through her primary, she's been told about it repeatedly. 4 years she's been told. This is like what? Just since she's been elected, the fourth or fifth time this has happened? This is no longer, and you can't say, I'm not excusing that. Oh, hell no. Especially from a bunch of people who thought an hourglass was a weapon. Oh, hell no, we are not excusing this. H-A-I-L, no. Mm-mm. They've been trying to spin this entire time. Now, what they're saying is that, well, she was, because Senator Warren said this, Elizabeth Warren said this. She said, branding criticism of Israel as automatically anti-Semitic has had a chilling effect on our public discourse and makes it harder to achieve a peaceful solution between Israelis and Palestinians. So, see, it was just, you know, they were just criticizing the hypnotic powers of Israel. That's all they were doing. That's all she was doing, right? Because that's what she was. And how she questioned the allegiance of Jewish Americans by suggesting that they support Israel more than the United States and questioning their loyalty to their own country. That's what that dual loyalty smear is. And that has been a smear on people of Jewish people for I don't know how long. It's existed since Israel existed, forever. That's been out there forever, longer than all of you have been alive. It's well known. It is absolutely offensive and insulting to spin it this way. She wasn't criticizing Israel. She wasn't criticizing, for instance, any policy from Netanyahu. She wasn't criticizing anything. She was criticizing and questioning the allegiance of those who support Israel. I get that nuance is dead, but we ain't fools, Elizabeth Warren. She was questioning specifically the character, the loyalty, the allegiance of people who defend and support Israel. That is exactly what she did. And to spin this off as, oh, well, she was just criticizing Israel. Oh, no, no, no. Anyone who is too stupid to understand that difference is not only unfit for office, but they're not smart enough to demand that all of us entertain their opinion. Big difference. But this is how they've been trying to spin it. Oh, and wait, there's more. I just buckle up because I am livid. I am so mad because the, and you should be, this is a watershed moment for this party. We're going to look back years from now at this moment in time, and we're going to say that's really when it began. How else do you say all the scary crap begins like this? I'm a little weirded out right now by a party that's being run by socialists and they appeared in all white in Congress and they hate Jewish people. I'm a little weirded out by that. Oh, and they want to disarm you too. That scares the ever-living hell out of me. I don't know about you all. Good night. No, Kamala Harris. Oh, there's more. I got some real good ones. Grab onto the edge of the table. Grab onto your desk. You're all going to need to brace yourselves on this one. You ready? So Kamala Harris came out. And she says that criticism of Ilhan Omar's anti-Semitic remarks, it actually, it she says that it encourages, it puts her at risk. She says, quote, I am concerned that the spotlight being put on Congresswoman Omar may put her at risk. Direct quote. Direct quote. Kane? Oh, Kane's eyebrows are touching the ceiling tiles. Yes, Kane?
At risk of sunlight? Is that what she's saying?
Yes, apparently.
I'm a fan of sunlight.
It is pretty amazing. It's the spotlight that she puts on herself by being a raging anti-Semite who goes on regular anti-Semitic tears and has done so for years. And Kamala Harris is concerned that anybody would find that behavior concerning. She's concerned that it's concerning. I mean, oh my heavens.
She wants to be president?
Yeah, she wants to be president. Every single one of the Democrat primary candidates. Remember how I told you yesterday they were all fighting with each other? Oh, well, that's changed because they're all, it's the official talking points have gone out. But wait, there's more. Yeah, do you want to hear Rashida Tlaib's? Oh, you want to hear Rashida Tlaib's. Grab a table, y'all. Brace yourselves. Brace yourselves. I'm going to be opening up the phone lines here in a minute, so you better be bracing yourselves. This is what Rashida Tlaib literally tweeted, okay? She wrote, quote, hard to watch Representative Scalise demand that Representative Omar be removed from House Foreign Affairs without wondering if it's steeped in Islamophobia. Ilhan is more than capable of sitting on the committee and making decisions that are in the best interests of her constituents and all Americans, end quote. A legitimate actual tweet from Rashida Tlaib. So this is the new spin. If you criticize her raging anti-Semitism that we've known about for years, years and years, then you're A, putting her at risk, and B, you're Islamophobic. Oh, but wait, there's more. With the purchase of one slab chop, you get a second slab chop for when you want to just smack the crap out of your vegetables. Are you ready? Because I have James Clyburn for you. Are you ready for James Clyburn? Okay, here we go. Grab an edge at table. I didn't tell you to stop bracing yourself, because here we go. So James Clyburn comes out, and this was last night. Clyburn says her experience is more empirical and powerful. Talking about Ilhan Omar's, Clyburn says Omar's experience is more empirical and powerful than of people who are generations removed from the Holocaust, Japanese internment camps, and other violent episodes that have marked history. Direct quote, I'm serious about that. There are people who tell me, well, my parents are Holocaust survivors. My parents did this. My parents did that. It's more personal with her. I've talked to her, and I can tell you she's living through a lot of pain, end quote. So because she fled Somalia, she gets a free pass to be a bigot to everyone else. You know who else fled Somalia? And who is a survivor of female genital mutilation and isn't an anti-Semite? Ayaan Hirsi Ali. The woman that these women have supported Linda Sarsour saying she should have her woman card pulled. Linda Sarsour threatened Ayaan Hirsi Ali. Ayaan Hirsi Ali fled Somalia. Do you see Ayaan Hirsi Ali out there being a bigot and an anti-Semite to anybody else? No. Omar does not get a pass. It should be particularly so if you suffered at the hands of bigoted people that you should not want to replicate that and force other people to suffer bigotry too. So I call BS. But wait, there's more. Dana, how is there seriously more? Oh, I told you. You guys want to hear from Cleaver? Of course y'all want to hear from Cleaver. Emmanuel Cleaver from Kansas City, the man who put a painting up in the Capitol where cops were dressed up as, well, pigs were wearing cop uniforms. He says on Omar, quote, "I think there ought to be a resolution that ought to be condemning all of the isms. If we're going to start condemning, let's condemn sexism and homophobia and Islamophobia and everything." These were the people, including Emmanuel Cleaver, who lost his ever-loving mind when you would say all lives matter. Have a million seats, Congressman. You guys want some more? Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. So this whole thing, whether it's Elizabeth Warren, whether it's Kamala Harris, whether it's Emmanuel Cleaver, whether it's James Clyburn, Rashida Tlaib, all of them have come out. And they have all been defending this. The party is on record as defending and embracing anti-Semitism. This horrible rot within this party that they have has now metastasized and it is spread out. Apparently, Democrats, I said this last night, they're in the process of rebranding themselves with Louis Farrakhan as their new mascot, replacing that that jackass that Thomas Nast drew. Although it's kind of the same thing, right? Just one's on four legs, one's on two. Still a donkey. It is amazing. Now, one of the reasons they've been going back and forth on whether or not they even wanted to have this vote condemning anti-Semitism, you want to know the horrible reality? You know why they're going back and forth? Why they haven't committed to it? Because they don't have the votes. They don't even have enough votes in the majority party in Congress, Democrats, to condemn anti-Semitism, which is why Pelosi won't put it on the floor. Now, you sit with that for a minute. It's fun to mock them. We're in dangerous territory right now. I'm going to explain more about that. We're in dangerous, dangerous territory. We've seen this in history before. Before we get going, and we have headlines, then we're going to open up some phone lines as well. Patriot Mobile is the cell phone service I use because I don't want to use Big Mobile and fund all of the issues that the people I'm just talking about, that they support and fund. Amnesty, gun control, abortion unregulated and frequent, Planned Parenthood. I don't want to support that, but every time you use your cell phone with your Big Mobile phone plan, that's exactly what you're doing. Switch today to Patriot Mobile. They make it so easy to do so. You can get an unlimited plan starting at $20 a month with Patriot Mobile. Do you know that? They'll buy out your contract, $500 per line up to $1,500 per account and credits. And you can waive your activation fee when you call them today at 1-800-8-PATRIOT. Visit them online at patriotmobile.com/Dana. Join the fight today. We use our phones every single day. Why not use it to make a change? Because, folks, it's going to take everything we got. 1-800-A-PATRIOT, patriotmobile.com/Dana. March is National Nutrition Month, and Superbeats by Human wants to get your cardiovascular system back in rhythm. Did you know that the top health benefit that Americans want from their food or nutrients is cardiovascular health? But 38% feel confused about what to eat to achieve goals. Superbeats is a highly concentrated, scientifically formulated solution that supports healthy blood pressure levels and circulation. According to a recent announcement by the American Heart Association, 48% of Americans have some form of serious cardiovascular health issue, and 39% have unhealthy blood pressure. Superbeats helps boost your nitric oxide level, which is critical to healthy blood pressure levels and cardiovascular health. Try Superbeats risk-free for 90 days. Visit danasbeats.com to get this special offer. You'll even get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats with your first order at danasbeats.com and free nitric oxide indicator strips to test your nitric oxide levels. Visit danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617 now and get your heart moving to Superbeats.
Broadcasting from the Lone Star State to your town.
The Dana Show.
We're going to be opening up phone lines here because I'm interested in what y'all think about this. I got some more stuff to give you, though, before we start opening up the floodgates. Let's kick it into headlines, though.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Okay, this one's going to blow your mind. So this story comes out of, it's Alabama. An aborted baby for the first time in the United States was recognized to have legal rights. This is according to WHNTV. An Alabama man is suing a clinic for providing an abortion to a woman he says was pregnant with his child. He petitioned a probate judge to allow him to represent the unborn child's estate. Probate Judge Frank Barger signed off on the petition by Ryan Majors, who claims to be the father of the baby. Brent Helms, the attorney for Majors and the baby, says his decision marks the first time that an aborted child has been recognized to have legal rights. It's not clear if Barger knew what he was granting. So it's going to be interesting to follow this because that could be a very interesting precedent. Now, last October, an Alabama Supreme Court judge ruled that an unborn baby is a person under the law. And in fact, because of this, the Supreme Court Justice Tom Parker called on the Supreme Court to revisit Roe v. Wade as a result of that particular ruling. So this guy comes out of left field, out of nowhere, to qualify for the debate. So his name is Andrew Yang, and he came out with no fanfare, and he's about to break the Democrat Party's $65,000 donor threshold. That's what you got to do in order to qualify for the first debate. So he may have gamed the system and actually may be at the debate, which is kind of insane. He's launching this insurgency within the Democrat Party. He's not a lawmaker. He has only 90,000 Twitter followers. And just last December, his campaign only had $38,000 cash on hand. He spent $33,000 on Facebook. He hadn't run a single TV ad. He says he's an entrepreneur, but he met one threshold. He's got to have a minimum of 200 donors per state in at least 20 states for Democrats to let you in their debate. And he's just about there. That's insane. How does that even happen? Also, let's see here, moving on down the line. We got this. This comes by way of Fast Company. Whole Foods reportedly cuts worker hours to make up for its new $15 an hour wage. Wow, never saw this coming. After Amazon raised its company-wide wage floor to $15 last year, workers at Whole Foods, they wanted it. They've got it. Now they're seeing their hours slash because it has to be market demand. That's how it has to be. So workers at Whole Foods said after they enacted this $15 minimum wage, they saw their shifts cut dramatically. One Illinois said he dropped from 30 hours a week to 20 hours a week. And we've seen that with every single one of these businesses that has done that. We get all these stories about how and a woman was sentenced to 15 years for a brutal brick beating of a 92-year-old California man, according to ABC 7. And you didn't hear that. That did make headlines. That's a real Jussie Smollett story. Stay with us.
Follow along on Twitter at DLash.
And official Dana Lash on Facebook.
Congresswoman Omar's statements clearly do not represent the thinking of most anybody else in office in the Democratic Party. But if they start to mumble in response to her specific and clear anti-Semitic statement, then the party itself is going to be held more broadly accountable for having similar feelings, which I know they don't. So again, I say this is a moment of testing, moral testing. Speak clearly about it. Make clear to the congresswoman that she went over the line. It's unacceptable. And you make clear to the next person who's thinking about expressing some other kind of bigotry that it's not going to be tolerated.
Yeah, that's true. They're going to own it. That was Joe Lieberman who was saying, look, they're going to be held accountable. Now, There are others that say that she should absolutely remain on that committee. Here's the thing. You're on a very influential committee that has a lot of power, and you're saying stuff about this, like this, about people who are Jewish Americans in this country. Holy cow. It is amazing to me. You know, one of the things that I thought was interesting, so in the Charlotte Observer, there was a gentleman who took out a full-page ad. Felix Sabatis, who is a millionaire businessman, Cuban immigrant, he took out a full-page ad, a McClatchy paper, and according to Paul Sperry, he says he slammed Democrats for pushing open borders and socialism in USA. Quote, "We have a socialist revolution beginning in America," and he named Cortez as one of them. And he goes, when I was a teenager in Cuba, I saw how quickly a self-proclaimed socialist Castro became a communist. His policies drove a rich country into poverty. We are heading in the same direction if we allow these self-proclaimed socialists to hijack our government. He goes, I believe that one day, he mentioned Cortez by name, will be viewed as the person who killed the Democrat Party because of her cockneyed crazy ideas. Wow. She's not the only person doing this, though. There's a whole bunch of them that are socialists. She's just the squeakiest wheel. And she says the stupidest stuff, which is why she keeps coming up. She doesn't come up in the press because she's supremely talented. She doesn't come up in the press because she's smart. She doesn't come up in the press because she has good ideas. She comes up into the press because she fights with Nancy Pelosi. She says crazy, outrageous things. And that's why. That's why she comes up in the press. So, and that's why people talk about her. I mean, I have a comparison, but I'm not going to make it. It's just someone that Kane and I both know. I'm like, she's like the progressive version or the socialist version of this person that we know. So it's always about power. It's never about principle. But the thing is that Democrats can no longer control this anymore. They cannot control this anymore. You know what really, one of the things that I hear, because everybody constantly brings up, it's these socialists, they bring up Steve King. Well, yeah, what about Steve King? What about Steve King? He was stripped of every committee. And your turn. Here's the difference. And then they bring up the crazy, who is it? The crazy people with the tiki torches. They all went to Home Depot and got some tiki torches. And when Trump was saying, oh, I think there's good people. I think he was talking about right and left. I don't think he was talking about like anybody who is, yeah, the alt-right. Good grief. But I think people desperately want to believe that. And they want that to be real so that they have an excuse for behaving the way that they do, and they don't have to hide their bigotry anymore. But so they mention like the alt-right, and they'll bring up, which the alt-right hates my guts. They hate me. I've been one of the earliest ones that they've hated since the primary. So a lot of y'all can have a seat. The alt-right is a fringe. See, right and left are not political parties. Democrat and Republican are political parties. Right and left are ideologies. And the left has a fringe and the right has a fringe. But here's the difference between the fringes on the left and the right. The alt-right doesn't have positions of power. They're not elected people sitting on powerful committees. Did you see anybody with them tiki torches? Did they walk into the Capitol? The difference is that the left, their fringe, is sitting in elected office. The difference is that the fringe, these individuals are the ones who are making serious decisions that affect everyone in these elected seats on very powerful committees. You have anti-Semitism on the far left and anti-Semitism on the far right with alt-right. But I don't see the alt-right people in the halls of Congress. I do see them in the halls of Congress on the far left. I see the far left ones hanging out with Louis Farrakhan, defending him on social media, going to his speeches, getting photos with him. You cannot make this comparison. You cannot make this comparison. My friend Andrew Klavan went after Chuck Todd because he says Omar opened the door for Republicans to point fingers and say, aha, the left has a problem with anti-Semitism. And he goes, and you know what it does. But unless you want to forget the chance of the Jews will not replace us by neo-Nazis in Charlottesville. And he brings that up. that, and Klavan says, is there any relationship between Mitch McConnell and the guy who shot up that synagogue? No, there's not. He says, the fringe left is in Congress. Their guys. He says that he's talking about their guys. The anti-Semitic alt-right, they're on the outside of this whole political party sphere, whatever it is. On the left, they're sitting in office. Their names are Rashida Tlaib and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar, and there are others, Maxine Waters. That's who they are. They have people sitting up at the New York Times. Klavan noted that at the New York Times the other day, there was literally a front page story discussing whether or not the Jews were too powerful. It is this huge difference. They're on networks defending it. They're at the publications defending it and writing. There was something that Bari Weiss, who writes over at New York Times, said at The View, because she guest hosted it the other day. She said, quote, when you see people marching with tiki torches or hear the Pittsburgh killer writing on social media, all Jews must die, that's very obviously eliminationist. The problem with anti-Semitism from the far left is that it oftentimes is smuggled into the mainstream under the guise of progressive values. So it says about itself, I'm just standing up for the downtrodden Palestinians, which they are. Quote, I'm just standing up for justice, or I'm just standing against racism. And so that kind of language is a siren song, including to Jews, 75% of whom vote for Democrats. And that's the problem with it. It's not as easy to spot oftentimes because it says we're just criticizing Israel. Nancy Pelosi shut it down. Well, this was before she backed off. She says the problem is that she still has a spot on the Congressional Foreign Affairs Committee. And that's a real question. Yeah, it is. But I think that the party is continuing to move further and further and further and further away from any sort of rational centrist position. They're embracing this because they're embracing anti-Semitism because anti-Semitism to them is a form of identity politics. Saying that it's wrong to question someone's allegiance to the country because they are Jewish, that's not identity politics. That's a bigoted remark. And there's a huge difference. And there are some people out there who don't even understand that blatant nuance. It's not even nuance. It's just two different things. It is a scary thing because Democrats can't contain this anymore. They can't contain it anymore. And they've stopped fighting with each other. Was it Jan Schakowsky was saying, who was it? They're saying, let's stop tweeting about it. And Nancy Pelosi completely walked everything back. Linda Sarsour, whose mentors include Louis Farrakhan and one of the unindicted co-conspirators of the 1993 World Trade Center bombings, she blasted Nancy Pelosi at first. Nancy Pelosi has since walked everything back. She said that Nancy Pelosi, her criticizing Omar, that she is a, quote, typical white feminist upholding the patriarchy doing the dirty work of powerful white men. End quote. So condemning Ilhan Omar's repeated anti-Semitism, repeated for years, is apparently nothing more than a white feminist upholding the patriarchy doing the dirty work of powerful white men. This is how they're spinning this. And Democrats are too terrified of their rabid socialist fringe base, which is now the party. It's not fringe anymore. The moderates are the fringe, folks. The moderate Democrats are now the fringe. And it's this far left, rabid socialist base. I told you for years this was going to come and bite them in the backside, and it has. They used that rabid fringe as their foot soldiers for so long. In lieu of substance, they used outrage. And outrage has taken over, and here's where they are. And now this is the full line of the party. They have taken over, and Nancy Pelosi now is relegated to falling back in line. They can't make the base mad because then they'll lose power, and they don't want to lose power. Here's an important thing for you to know. Democrats, the last ones, would rather be consumed whole and made part of the anti-Semitic socialist machine than to lose power. You need to understand that. They would rather completely lose their souls, embrace anti-Semitism, embrace this awfulness, than to lose power. Power is their virtue. And this is what you're witnessing right now. This is what you're seeing with Nancy Pelosi. These names that I threw out, James Clyburn, Emmanuel Cleaver, these aren't small party names. These are ranking members, senior leaders of the party, chairman of committees, folks. Kamala Harris is a presidential contender. She will likely remain in the top three of the Democrat primary. This is who the party is now. And they've made this bed. Now, coming up, the party now that is embracing anti-Semitism has now supported denying officially any health care treatment, any medical care at all whatsoever to an infant that survives abortion. Now they're banning media outlets. They've decided to ban Fox News from 2020 coverage. Any 2020 debates, anything like that. Now I'm going to explain to you how ridiculous this is. And we're going to go back in history just a little bit. We're going to go back to Rathergate for CBS. We're going to go back and look at how NBC treated the Weinstein story. Or how the LA Times ignored John Edwards. Or how CNN gave up debate questions. We're going to go back and look at all of this stuff. They think that the president has a close relationship with Fox, but they had no problem with Obama having a close relationship with every damn network out there, except Fox. So we're going to touch on all of that. We're also going to get into some gun laws, Second Amendment stuff. That stuff is moving. Yeah, because they want to disarm you, too. And we have a bunch of other stuff. Florida man, and we're going to open up phone lines because I'm very interested in your thoughts on some of this. 844-344-DANA is the number to join the program. Purple Heart Foundation is a great organization. These are volunteer veterans giving their time freely to go and help veterans returning back from Afghanistan, coming back from Iraq, coming back from their service and acclimating back to civilian life, right? Now, last year alone, the Purple Heart Foundation helped over 19,000 vets get $200 million in benefits. That's what they do. And they are not a federally funded entity. This is a privately funded group that is that volunteers, and they're made up of veterans themselves. When you donate your money to the Purple Heart Foundation, that makes up the educational scholarship that these vets get. It pays for these national service officers, that's the volunteer vets, to fly around the country and sit and work with these vets, go through the paperwork and get their VA benefits. It pays to get homeless vets off the street. It funds PTSD research. That's what your money goes to. So join me in supporting our veterans and their families in their daily battle. Honor their sacrifice. Donate today. PurpleHeartFoundation.org/donate. That's PurpleHeartFoundation.org/donate. Tell them that you heard about it on The Dana Show.
Listen live around the world
at DanaRadio.com.
At D Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. Maybe that's what they mean by a big tent party. My friend Stephen Miller, not that Stephen Miller in the Trump campaign or the Trump office, says, look, we're a big tent here. We got to make room for anti-Semites and blackface. Maybe that's what it is. Good heavens. Seriously, though, I mean, it's just crazy. We are in a really crazy world. Just a really crazy world right now. And that's why I said this is it. Democrats also want you to think that this is not a huge issue. It is a huge issue. It's an insane huge issue. This is a watershed moment for their party. And I don't want this to become this thing where, you know, years back we look after something, you know, awful happens, or the country's so divided, you know, there's conflict or something, and go and look back and say, like, oh, this is when it started. Their resolution that they have is so watered down that it doesn't even mention Ilhan Omar by name. It's 7 pages. Doesn't even mention her by name. Nothing. Steve King was stripped of every single committee appointment. He was stripped of everything. And it is, wow. It is amazing. You remember how when, You know how if what's his face? David Duke, that old weirdo Klansman who looks like he had a bunch of plastic surgery. Ew. He said, remember whenever he would say something, if Trump did something and he would agree with it policy wise and everyone's like, see, it's proof. Yeah, well, he says that he's praising Ilhan Omar, says she is, quote, the most important member of Congress, quote, now the most important member of Congress. But yeah, that doesn't matter, right? Goodness. Yeah, they're going to replace the donkey with Farrakhan as their mascot. That's what it's going to be. Good heavens. Now, some of the other things we're going to touch on coming up in our second hour. Now they've banned Fox News from 2020 coverage. Chris Wallace responds, and we're going to get into some of the history of it. Democrats now want minors to vote. If you're 16, you should be able to vote. Kane's not happy with. He's not happy with that one. We have that. The former president, Barack Obama, he's trying to get some shine. He goes out there and says Palin actually paved the way for Trump. What? What? Oh, and you guys know Horton Hears a Who? Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, that's apparently super woke now. And it's racist and some like promotes white supremacy and colonialism and a bunch of other stuff. Yeah, it's the modern day book banning people. The book burners are back. And they hate Horton Hears a Who. We'll talk about that. And who wins in a battle of, let's just say, like, just remember, intersectional everything. People who are Muslims versus LGBTQ. Because that showdown is happening in the UK right now. Over sex ed and some social justice warriorism curriculum in schools. We're going to discuss that as well. We also have the question, the million-dollar question, when are they going to investigate Adam Schiff? We'll have that. And we'll get some calls in about the topics we're hitting today. 844-344-DANA. Stay with us. It's only March, and progressives have done nothing this year but cause chaos. Cuomo, Ocasio-Cortez, Kamala Harris, all promoting infanticide, running businesses out of New York, and so much more. I have a question for you. Are you funding their progressive agenda? Major corporations where you shop every day are using their buying power to steer America towards a socialist economy. If your cell phone plan is with AT&T or Verizon, your money is supporting progressive candidates, the ACLU, Unidos US, and Planned Parenthood. You can support your own values by switching to Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile offers the same reliable nationwide coverage you already have, plus they take a portion of their proceeds and support conservative organizations like the Heritage Foundation, the Susan B. Anthony List, and more. Patriot Mobile has unlimited talk and text plans starting as low as $20 a month. It's easy to switch. Call 1-800-A-PATRIOT and mention Dana or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana and they'll waive up to 2 activation fees. Join me and switch to Patriot Mobile today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana.
Well, look, Brianna, if we're realistic about this, it is true Fox has journalists like Brett Baer who do a good job. But every night in prime time, Democrats are dehumanized. They are attacked relentlessly by Fox News primetime hosts. It was always hard for me to imagine a Democratic primary debate taking place in those hours when figures like Nancy Pelosi and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez are constantly demonized and attacked. So the Democratic National Committee now making that official and saying we'll have nothing to do with Fox in this primary season.
Yeah, that was guess who? That was Brian Stelter, who says I'm glad that they're not. I mean, there's why he's defending the DNC banning Fox from any 2020 debate, anything, because he says every night Democrats are dehumanized. Welcome back to the show. At D Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. Find me on Instagram, Snapchat, everywhere else. Has he ever watched his own network?
Apparently not.
Has he ever watched in MSNBC? NBC, ABC, CBS, HBO.
Sure.
Where else? Where else I got? Give me some more alphabet soup.
YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, really. Even social media, even tech giants. Every day, every second there that you see conservatives and Republicans that are criticized. And do you want to discuss dehumanizing? Criticizing people isn't dehumanizing, but I understand that the less intelligent among us would dare confuse disagreement for persecution. So that being said, the idea that I think it's kind of insulting to think that Chris Wallace wouldn't be fair or that Brett Baer wouldn't be fair. I think they're both phenomenal, or Martha McCallum even. I mean, Chris Wallace is not necessarily a conservative. Not at all. He's very tough. He's very good at what he does. And he does due diligence, I think. Well, it's weird to me that that would not be a consideration. Now, DNC Chair Tom Perez, well, they're trying to walk some of it back because there were a lot of... And can I also point out that I'm curious as to... I haven't seen any of the other networks defend Fox the way Fox defended CNN and other networks anytime the president said that he was going to ban someone. When Trump said, when he pulled Acosta's credentials, Fox defended Acosta. The literal network, all of them, and on air, they defended him having the ability to have access. I didn't even necessarily agree with it. But I understood what they were saying. And I understood that they didn't want any aspect of any sort of access for any press to ever be obstructed. And so they defended Acosta. Where's Acosta defending them? Look, if you ever think that you are ever going to get that sort of treatment back from those individuals, it's never going to happen. You have to have principles to do that. I sound really partisan right now, and I mean to, because I think that there's a clear difference between what is happening in that party right now and what is happening with that ideology and who they used to be. I can't wave a red flag warning people any more vigorously than I am right now. This is Tom Perez, who's the DNC chair, and he's trying to explain it now because there were Chris Wallace blasted him. Listen.
Our second North Star principle in these debates is to make sure that whichever network runs them ensures that our candidates are treated fairly. Now, you had the video before of Chris Wallace. I have great respect for Chris Wallace, and my concern is not about Chris Wallace. It's about people above Chris Wallace, because what we have seen now, and it's been really most recently now in the New Yorker story, is that at the highest levels of Fox News, they're not playing it straight. And again, this isn't about Chris Wallace. I have respect for him, but I do not have the confidence that we need to take such an important part of the nomination process, these debates, and trust them to folks who at the top levels are consulting Donald Trump before they do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's media banning is what it is. And I don't agree. He's like, oh, well, it's because of the network bigwigs. It's not really Chris Wallace. It's, you know, the people who are above him, etc. No, I don't agree with that either.
My question is, why wouldn't you want the other side to see your candidate? Like, why wouldn't you want the other side if you're so proud to put forward?
You know what? You just gave me a thought saying that. Why wouldn't you want the right to see those candidates? Let me ask you this, Kane. Have Republicans ever been as divided as they are now?
No. Actually, right now, they're the most divided. I've seen.
Why the hell would you not exploit that?
Exactly.
You have two strategies before you. You could put forth, this is why I said they should have put forth a moderate. You could put forth a moderate. You could go on Fox, have your debates, and for all the people who are the never Trump people, or the people who maybe aren't so sure yet, even after 2.5 years, maybe you would attract those people. Maybe you would attract the people, because remember, they're Democrats. Trump didn't make people more registered Republicans. He won over Democrats because he focused on jobs instead of pronouns. And instead of taking that strategy, Democrats decide, well, hell, I guess we'll go with the anti-Semites. Wow. And these people want to write your gun and tax laws. Just FYI. But you made me think of that.
I mean, the people that are on the fence, wouldn't they want to see somebody of quality come out from the left? I mean, why wouldn't they? And this is what makes me believe Joe Biden is going to step in at the last minute.
Now I'm going to, wait. Hold that, because I have a headline about that. Right. I mean, I wasn't going to get to it till later. I'm like pointing at you, like I'm pinning you down on something. He would be, and I don't even want to say this because I don't want to give them any ideas. He's the only hope they have left.
I believe it.
Joe Biden is the only hope that they have left. He is completely, he is it. Because he's still popular. I mean, he's still popular. I have a headline, actually.
By the way, if the DNC doesn't think they can handle Fox News, do they think any of their candidates are going to be handling, I don't know, a national figure or some sort of conflict with another, you know, country leader or something like that?
Yeah. I think that's true.
How the heck are you going to be able to prove you're strong enough to do that?
Right. Now, speaking of Biden, I was going to get to this later on, but I want to hit it now. So the New York Times is reporting that Biden is so close to launching. The headline is Joe Biden's 2020 plan is almost complete. Democrats are impatient. It says the pieces for a Joe Biden presidential campaign are falling into place. His nucleus of advisors have begun offering campaign positions to seasoned Democrat strategists. They're in headquarters in Delaware or nearby Philly. Honestly, this is Democrats' only chance. It is their only chance. And I mean, he's been reaching out to what's going to make this is a couple of things. Because I think out of all the Democrats, and I still think he's far left. I still think that if they ran somebody like Jim Webb, who's a moderate, but he's too moderate for them, they'll never win the base. What they're hoping is that he still has some of the legacy of his time in office with Barack Obama for the socialist street cred, for the socialist kids that have taken over the party. I say kids, like they're like 35 and 40 years old, for the socialists that have taken over the party. And at the same time, he can still reach out and I think in certain states, and it's not politically advantageous for me to talk about this, I think in certain states he could compete with Trump. I think he could compete with Trump in Wisconsin. Look at how Wisconsin went their last election. They went their state legislature and their governor.
The only thing that I think would ruin it for him is what he did when he apologized for saying that Mike Pence was a decent guy.
That'll get him.
Like, that's going to kill it for him if he keeps doing stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, this is how far left it is. It's bad if you say someone's decent.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's bad if you say that someone's decent. But I think he would be the only person who could do it. And I think that having a primary debate with him, who are some of the other ones? You have Kamala Harris.
Booker.
Yeah. Well, Booker, he was kind of back and forth. Right? I don't know. He announced because he was in front of a physical barrier while he was talking about how bad those were. Kamala Harris, Cory Booker. He's got an exploratory. The Castros. Biden will outshine them. And I think that out of the ones on stage in terms of presence, I think Kamala Harris would be most competitive, and I think he could outshine her.
I think so, too. But it has to be like the way they handled. Remember, Obama didn't do any debates, didn't do hardly anything at all leading up to these elections, and did maybe one or two. And I think that's going to be the key to Biden's success as well, because right now you're going to have 20 Democratic primary candidates. And the water's going to be muddy. There's going to be a lot of diluted news coverage for any one specific candidate. So my guess is he's going to lay low, and then he's going to come in, not do many, if any, debates until he absolutely has to, and swoop in at the last minute. That's really how I see it working out.
Yeah, I'm wondering how much I can go by with him having to apologize for saying Pence is decent. I mean, because, see, if he felt the need to cave even over that.
But of all the other candidates, he's got the least amount of space to travel to get to normalcy, right? Like all the other ones, all the other candidates on the left, they're so far from normal. It's going to be tough, you know, when 2020 rolls around. Joe Biden's closer to normal than all the other potential candidates.
He's the closest one to having humanity. Yes, I agree. Just to seem like a person who cares about infants and people and not just power. But I mean, I'm not saying I would not vote for him at all, but it would be a very interesting dynamic on stage with Trump. Oh, yeah. Because Trump is going to outshine all those other ones. Biden, he would have to maybe switch it up a little bit. It would be interesting to see how that works. We have more to come, including here, and we're taking calls on this particular on these topics that we're hitting today, 844-344-DANA. Because it's not Open Line Friday, so we're not doing like anything goes, because we want to stay on track because there's so much stuff to hit with regards to this. But yeah, the Biden, I don't know when. They're not saying when, but we'll see. We'll see. If he makes that trek to Iowa, it's pretty much set. We're going to get into all of that. Who wins in a battle? It's the identity politics battle, Muslims versus LGBTQ. UK is going to find out. As we get moving, Kel-Tec, great, great, great company based in Florida. They've been doing what they do since 1995. They do it right. They're very innovative. All their firearms are proudly made right here in the U.S. of A. And they are, they think like you, and they support what you support. They have several new firearms that are out this year, thanks to the awesome tax reform. They have the Kel-Tec CP33. It's a 22LR competition pistol, holds 33 rounds in each magazine. It's the first new example of their newest innovation, and Kel-Tec's newest innovation in performance. It comes with two, by the way, 33-round magazines, so that's 66 rounds of fun, standard, right out of the box from the factory. And it's really fun to shoot. It's just very fun to shoot. It's a smooth single action 4-pound trigger pull, and it's ambidextrous, operating handle, magazine catch, safety. So lefties and righties, you know, you got some lefties in your family, some righties in your family. You want to go and have a fun day at the family day at the range. You can do it. Has aluminum Picatinny style rail, sight to sight for mounting optics. It has a slot for MLOK, M-lock right below the barrel. So you can throw a light weapon or a weapon light right on there. And it's just fun to shoot. It's fun to shoot, and sometimes I think it makes me more accurate. Or maybe it's just Kel-Tec. I don't know. Check them out. KelTecWeapons.com. KELTECweapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
It's the Dana Show.
At D Lash on Twitter. Official Dana Lash on Facebook. Let's kick it into some headlines, shall we?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the I think I need 2019 to beat this headline. Are you guys ready for this? It's in the headline, so I gotta say it, Kane. Ready? Yeah. I'm not Big Bird, I'm not Sesame Street. Billionaire diamond trader, 65, dies during penis enlargement surgery at private clinic in Paris. The billionaire diamond trader reportedly suffered a heart attack. He had a heart attack while he was on the operating table. A friend of the man said he was always focused on his appearance. Well, that's... Wow. Okay, there you go. Moving on down the line. Money can't buy you happiness. One in six circuit court judges in America is now a Trump appointee. Remember how I said after the election we were moving to more of a judicial and less more of a legislative agenda? Well, this is why. The latest with Allison Jones Rushing, she's going to be a federal judge. Lifetime seat. She's only 37 years old. So this goes into one in six circuit court judges now. He is completely, he is remaking the judicial everything in the United States, which is very cool. I just want 5 minutes alone with either of these people, with the dude especially, the dad especially. This story broke my heart. Daily Mail says this was a Olive Garden in Paducah, Kentucky. Mark Lee Pierce and his girlfriend Jessica Woodworth, they were dining with an 11-year-old girl and a 20-month-old baby. And the waitress, Jordan Cooper, said that the toddler was black and blue with bruises. And she said that the baby looked at me with a face that said, help. They kept a blanket over her head. And then but she pulled it off and the server saw it. She said she's black and blue all over her face. And he was shoving bread into the baby's mouth, getting real aggressive in her face, kept dragging her to the bathroom when she would cry without a diaper bag. So finally, she took some of the people near at the table took a picture. Jordan Cooper gave him her number. They hunted these people down and police intervened. The house was, they said one of the cops had to go outside and collect himself. The baby had, just beaten black and blue. So they've taken them, the kids in custody, and the man and woman are in custody. Awful story. Just 5 minutes alone in a room with that SOB. 5 minutes. Stay with us.
Spanning coast to coast and all over Flyover Nation.
The Dana Show.
Ooh. Oh, I got more. Oh, Andrew Gillum. I'm going to drop this in Slack here real quick because I literally just saw it. We're going to have to play this coming up. 844-344-DANA, this whole situation. Andrew Gillum said that Omar's anti-Semitic remarks are appropriate and legitimate. What? Oh, my gosh. What? Ooh. Oh, my goodness. I bet Nancy Pelosi's begging for Joe Biden to get in this race. But if he's already bending a knee and having to apologize for saying that Mike Pence was a decent guy, doesn't that kind of spell problems? Because if he's already doing this, let's go to the phones. Rosie is on the line, on line one from Indiana. I just want to just read what's in my call screen. My call screener says, will Biden take Trump out back and beat him? Because remember, he said that once.
That's what he
Rosie,
said.
Welcome to the show.
Somebody told me the other day, said, you have Dana's personality. And I said, I do not. She has mine because I'm older. I knew you'd get a kick out of that.
That's good. That's good. That's very good.
Love you, Dana.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. No, I think that's a great point that you make. Do you think that? How do you think a debate between those two would go down?
I think Donald Trump would eat him up. If he can get away with not going to the shed, he'll be all right.
Yeah, that's a good
point.
Hey,
you know, I just thought when talking to you, who's that guy that's going to get awful jail time? I can see him. He walks stiffly. But anyway, he didn't do half of what Hillary did.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you talking about Cohen? Is that the Michael Cohen guy?
No, the other one. He's real tall and... Try again.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Yeah,
I
Comey?
I can see him.
No.
When he walks, he's really stiff and he doesn't...
Well, the point that you make, though, is a good one because... for all of these charges that have come out against some of these people, Hillary Clinton would be guilty of the exact same charges. So if they actually wanted to pursue it, but they have so many people still in places of power that are so hard to get out. That's one of the reasons we haven't seen that happen. But very good point. Very good point. Rosie, God bless you. I appreciate you calling in. Sharon personalities. That's perfect. Steve's calling out of Orlando on line two, WDBO. Steve, welcome to the show. What's your thoughts on all this hot Thanks. Mess?
I'm a pretty simple guy. I'm a blue-collar worker. And you were talking about how the DNC wants to ban Fox. But
yeah,
when the president wants to kick one single reporter out, everybody loses their mind.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay to ban an entire network. I mean, where's the pushback? Where's Fox calling them out on this?
Well, they have been. They called them out. They sent they released a statement. Chris Wallace was mad as well. And then that's when Tom Perez, we played that audio. Tom Perez came out and said, "Oh no, well here, actually, let's play that. Let's play that Tom Perez cut." He came out and said that.
North Star principle in these debates is to make sure that whichever network runs them ensures that our candidates are treated fairly. Now, you had the video before of Chris Wallace. I have great respect for Chris Wallace, and my concern is not about Chris Wallace. It's about people above Chris Wallace, because what we have seen now, and it's been really most recently now in the New Yorker story, is that at the highest levels of Fox News, they're not playing it straight. And again, this isn't about Chris Wallace. I have respect for him. But I do not have the confidence that we need to take such an important part of the nomination process, these debates, and trust them to folks who at the top levels are consulting Donald Trump before they do anything.
Yeah. Now, see, and Steve, that's what they're saying. But did Fox ever leak debate questions out? Did they ever try to bury a Harvey Weinstein story, or did they sit on a tapes of former presidents? Like, for instance, CBS sat for a month on a tape of Obama calling Benghazi a terror attack. Do you remember anything like that, Steve? Did they do anything like that?
No, not at all. No, they're without blame, without fault.
No, there you go.
It
right
sounds
there.
Like they're talking out the side of their mouth. I mean, it's just... Republicans, Democrats, I mean, they're all kind of they're all kind of screwing the pooch here, and kind of it's a sad, sad time for us here.
They're talking out of their other face completely, their second face.
Yeah, no, you make a good point. You make a very good point, Steve. Appreciate you listening. Thanks so much for calling in today. Now, that's, I mean, it's very true. And I let me look over this a little bit, because this blacklisting of an entire network, and Steve made a good point, when the president dismissed one reporter, everyone lost their mind. And Fox defended that one reporter. But now they won't allow Fox to not even take part, but to televise any debates, none of it. None of it. And Tom Perez is, he's just absolutely certain about it. Now, remember, CNN got in trouble because they gave all of they gave debate questions to Hillary Clinton. Donna Brazile got in trouble for this. Washington Examiner wrote at the time, Donna Brazile finally admits she shared debate questions with the Clinton campaign. I asked her about it and she blocked me. I can't tell you how long I've known this woman. I have known this woman since 2010. We did election night together for ABC. I have sat in the makeup room and I have had breakfast sandwiches with her as we got ready for Sunday morning talk show circuit. And she blocked me when I asked her that. Well, she blocked a lot of people. But she finally admitted that she used her former position as a CNN commentator to relay questions ahead of debates to Hillary Clinton during the primary. She had she avoided confirming it forever. But then finally, after, now remember, it was after Hillary Clinton, it was after she lost. After she lost out. And after all of that, that's when Donna Brazile came out finally and said that it happened. Remember? This was after the election. She stayed quiet about it until then. And then she was very critical of Hillary Clinton. She couldn't do it when she thought Hillary Clinton was going to be a threat. Now, do you remember when CBS sat for a month on a tape of Barack Obama calling Benghazi a terror attack? And I remember that. I remember when CNN attacked Mitt Romney. This is from The Guardian. And she took, Candy Crowley was the moderator. She took a lot of heat for it because Romney was on point when he was discussing Barack Obama's discussion of the terror attack in Benghazi. And everyone, I mean, a lot of people came down on Crowley because Crowley jumped into the debate and took Barack Obama's side. She was trying to rehabilitate him. And you want to have a, I remember that moment. I remember how unfair that was. That was crazy. Do you all remember when CBS, when they had Rathergate? You all remember that story? CBS pushing false documents. Here's the thing. So what if Donald Trump knows people at Fox? And what? So what if he has a relationship with them? Barack Obama had a relationship with CNN, MSNBC, everybody. Oh, I worked at CNN too. I was a commentator. Yes. Oh, I know. Absolutely was. This idea that they had relationships with everybody. What about Hillary Clinton? To my point, remember when ABC, remember when they launched the war on women garbage? Remember, they were all instrumental in this. All of them. And they're mad. You remember when NBC sat on evidence, Washington Examiner, that exonerated Brett Kavanaugh during the hearings and discredited Michael Avenatti and that one crazy client he had? Yeah, Washington Examiner had this story at the time. This was October of last year. NBC News obtained information as early as September 30th suggesting that attorney Michael Avenatti had engaged in a conspiracy to defame Brett Kavanaugh. Yet for more than 3 weeks, the network said nothing. Kavanaugh's critics cited Julie Swetnick, Avenatti's client, as proof that Brett Kavanaugh was unworthy to serve on the Supreme Court. They published this report titled, New Questions Raised About Avenatti Claims Regarding Kavanaugh. And it went through some of the already identified discrepancies, and it included new details about additional inconsistencies. They knew about it. They knew that there were, according to their pre-interviews with Avenatti and Swetnick, they knew that she said, and Also, there was apparently a witness. Remember when Swetnick said there was a witness? Well, NBC contacted the woman, said she never saw Kavanaugh. She's like, what? Woman said she wasn't even friends with Swetnick. What? And yet they aired a one-on-one interview with her, with Julie Swetnick. They aired the interview anyway. They went forward with it anyway, and they withheld all of this stuff anyway. And now this ideology has the audacity to say that, well, because Trump knows some of the executives over there at Fox, and they're Republicans never get a fair share or a fair shake ever. There have been very few times that it's even been remotely balanced. And again, I know because I've been at the debates. I've had to write about them. I've been backstage. I see them. Good heavens. There's this idea that, oh, suddenly there's media bias from networks that actually engaged in omission and lying and withholding. It's just craziness. It's just total, that just, that's, it's, they're ignoring what they've done. Sean on line one out in Wichita, Kansas, on this whole thing, this whole ordeal. Sean, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks. I often talk to you. You know, the whole deal is he just called himself and his network out, because that's just a whole bunch of, hey, I know that this is going to happen over at Fox because I know their executives are going to be pushing this. And the way I know it is because my executives are pushing me in a certain direction as well.
Yeah,
that's exactly
he did.
What's going on there. He's just ratting himself out and his executives. Yep. So, I mean, it's all a bunch of noise.
Yeah, thanks, absolutely. Dana. I appreciate it. Thanks for calling in, Sean. We have more to come, including how this was brought up by some of the more conservative thinking writers on the Webernets, where Clyburn apparently thanked Farrakhan. Thank you for offering up a number of precepts that we ought to adhere to, he said in a direct quote. This is from 2011. And so Yatha writes, the question I have for Clyburn is, what has Farrakhan said since 2011 that he hadn't already said before 2011? And why would anyone suppose that you feel differently about him than you did then? I think that's a great point. Why would they think that? I think that's a very good point. Mm-mm-mm. We have a lot more to get into. And we got more calls on the way. 844-344-DANA. And not just on this media stuff, Trump responded. And he's basically saying, I'll be your Huckleberry. And the Republican Party needs to fight. They need to fight on this. And those who dislike who's in the White House, still in the Republican Party, need to get over it. We got a lot still. And we got Florida Man on the way coming up. Don't go anywhere. More of The Dana Show after this.
The Dana Show is now available on demand. Subscribe on iTunes and get full episodes delivered right to your phone.
I cannot believe Dr. Pimple Popper is a thing. I accidentally saw like an ad for the show. This is a show people watch?
Yep.
They watch it?
Yep.
With their eyes?
Yep.
What?
With their eyes.
They do this on the show?
Yes, they do.
What is wrong with people? Ew.
There's a whole society out there that loves to watch pimples get popped.
I can't stand watching people chew with their mouth open. And this is like infinity beyond that. What? Ew.
Oddly,
this is so gross.
Oddly not
so
satisfying.
Glad I already ate. That's so nasty. I cannot believe that somebody got a show for that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Ugh. I'm like that gif of the little girl who's like vomiting. Oh man. Whew. Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand that show at all. I just saw an ad for it and it made me think of it. Let's go ahead and kick it into some Florida Man.
It's time for Florida Person. It's time to check what Florida is up to.
Oh, man. Okay, so, gosh, there's a lot of naked crimes that I just need to, because sometimes I feel like you guys think that I purposely go out and search for things that are of a particular type. No, 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 no. So I actually don't think, and I know you're going to be like, Dana, you got to be consistent with the law. I get you. But I wanted to find out if this guy had made bail or not. But so here's the headline. Man punched a companion in the face when he found out he was a pedophile, police say. Happened in Largo, Florida. A Largo man was charged with battery after punching another man in the face after finding out he was a pedophile. According to police, Lorenzo DeMario Brown was speaking with the victim, a 56-year-old man, when Brown learned he was a pedophile. Brown punched the victim in the face with a closed fist, causing minor injury and bleeding. Brown was charged with simple battery and released. So assault and drug charges, that's bad. But, I mean, yeah, I'm glad that they just let him go, because, you know, the guy was a sex offender stemming from a 1997 conviction in New York. And maybe one of the downsides of being a sex offender, make predators afraid again. I want to make predators scared out of their minds. I want them to fear criminals more, or to fear the innocent more than they even fear anything else. So they don't prey on the innocent. All right, so. See, I'm telling you. All right. TSA says he's a Florida man traveling back to Florida. He was trying to bring a military rocket propelled grenade launcher back home. Well, the Pennsylvania airport that he went through said, yeah, let's not do that. They spotted it was a non-functioning weapon, but a weapon nonetheless. And they say the unassembled parts of the launcher, the TSA said, and the replica grenade were found. The alarm went off. I'm sure it did. And they looked at it like Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. The items were confiscated, and he was able to catch his flight to Orlando. It was a like a replica, but they said, yeah, he goes, I thought I could bring this on in a checked bag. And they said, no, you can't. I could not even bring a pin. It was a pin that was made out of a shell casing. Right. They said it was live ammunition. I argued with a TSA agent in McCarran in Vegas for like 30 minutes. I'm like, I want you to explain to me how this is live ammunition, as
last
I wrote
year,
with it.
Same airport, the flash drive that was shaped with the gun. Remember the flash drive that had,
yes,
that was tiny, tiny little thing shaped like a gun. I had to leave it.
Are you serious? Why didn't you tell me? You're like the worst gossip ever.
That was like 2 years ago.
You couldn't even. You just said 1 year ago.
Well, it was two SHOT shows ago.
You couldn't even get your finger in the trigger guard. It was gun shaped.
Yeah.
One of them told. Well, they told me, they said anything bullet shaped, and I go, I got tampons in there. They're bullet shaped. You want those too? And they were not entertained. Now some people are like, yeah, we get it. It's, you know, but they, yeah, they like pulled it out of my. It was crazy. Let's see. Okay, I don't understand this. Florida man, according to my panhandle, he spent 4 years just kicking cars. A Florida man spent some of his downtime over the past 4 years just kicking and damaging cars. So between February 23rd and 28th last year, multiple criminal mischief cases were reported to Walton County Sheriff's offices. So one vehicle had damage to the driver and passenger side door with an Adidas shoe print clearly legible. And so they finally got the guy, the suspect, Seth Aaron Snowden. And he's like, yeah, okay, these are my shoes. And so he was charged with 3 felony counts of criminal mischief. He says sometimes he gets aggravated, and this is how he stops having an outburst. What? Stay with us.
She hasn't apologized. Does she need to apologize?
Well, maybe she may need to explain that she did not. It's up to her to explain. But I do not believe that she understood the full weight of the words. As I say, when you're you're an advocate out there,
Nancy
as
Pelosi,
I was, so I appreciate all the enthusiasm.
That's all I wanted to hear. Because nothing says white privilege like a white woman up there saying, well, that woman of color doesn't understand what she says. She's too stupid to know what she's talking about. In fact, she's so stupid, I'm going to put her on this in super important committee. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook as well. Make sure you check out the podcast for the show, which has all the show archives. That's what oh my gosh, and it gets worse. Just when you think it can't get worse, Jan Schakowsky wants you to hold her beer. Oh my gosh. So, oh man. Do we have this? Because this is the craziest thing. I got to set it up. So first you had James Clyburn, who says, well, you know, you Holocaust survivors, as Sean Davis put it, you just need to check your privilege because you couldn't possibly understand the personal struggles of anti-Semite Representative Ilhan Omar. And then now you have Jan Schakowsky, who basically says, well, she can't help it. It's her. She just comes from a different culture. Listen.
To exploit these kinds of maybe heightened, more sexy kinds of battles. And it is not a battle. I want to tell you that. I did say stop tweeting in that caucus yesterday because I think that this is not a conversation that we ought to have on social media and in the public. But if you want to know the truth, the majority of us, our vast majority, are going to be voting for a resolution that I hope puts this to bed that says, yes, as a Jew, anti-Semitism is a huge deal. The anti-Semitic acts are up 50% over last year. But Islamophobia is also a huge problem. And I want to tell you that Ilhan Omar, Congresswoman, is under tremendous attack, death threats. I think maybe she needs some security. And why? Because I think in part the Republicans and the media have blown this up to be much more than it is. We do have to deal with the kind of diversity in our caucus. But I want to tell you, Ilhan talked to me personally.
What did she tell you? Do you feel reassured?
Not only did she apologize for the words that she has used, but she apologized personally to me as a Jew. And I want to tell you, part of being a Jew is to be welcoming to the stranger.
Oh my gosh, get to it.
I want to tell you, Ilhan Omar is a refugee from Somalia. She comes from a different culture. She has things to learn. I am not either trivializing anti-Semitism or the things that she said, or saying that it's okay that she said them. But what I am saying is that I think this is a learning moment for her and a learning moment.
Oh my gosh. I gotta grab a table. Oh my gosh. Ugh.
She's done it for years. She hasn't learned enough.
Years and years she has done this. She's been tweeting about Israel being, quote, evil. I mean, over and over again.
Just needs to learn, though.
She knows. She just doesn't care because y'all support it. Oh, my gosh. Hi. Welcome back. That's her whole thing. She has talked about this for years. Different culture. She's been in Minnesota for 2 decades. Come on. Wait, we come from a different culture, too. Why aren't we racist anti-Semites, Kane?
That would be an awesome cover, wouldn't it? That would be good.
Then we could be Democrats or socialists, really, now.
Well, for more than a decade, we have proof on social media, or at least around a decade, of her anti-Semitism. So, geez, there's 10 years right there.
I just love all these white people that are out there like, this poor woman of color is too stupid to know what she's talking about, guys. She's so stupid. I mean, you know, she's a grown woman, and, you know, she's been here for decades. But, you know, and again, I'm going to make this point again. You know who else is a Somali refugee who actually survived female genital mutilation? Ayan Hirsi Ali. Is Ayan Hirsi Ali a raging bigot? No. Is Ayan Hirsi Ali, does she go off for years, 4, 5, 6 years, and just tweet nonstop about anti-Semitic garbage? No. So, you know, it's Ayan Hirsi Ali. I mean, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I mean, what is, oh my word. They're defending this. I just think it's weird. You have all these white women up there. Well, she's too stupid. Is that not racist if you're going to have a discussion on racism? I mean, not that they care, but it just makes me think. Oh my gosh, you people, I tell you. I don't know. I don't know what to make of this party anymore. And you have Clyburn defending. They're all defending it. And they say, well, we need to condemn all the isms. Whoa, hold up. You got mad when we said all lives matter. So what? No. That doesn't matter. Anything that they can do to get around it. Oh, my word. And yet there's more. Of course there is. So, because I've missed some things here. This is where it gets, yeah. This is happening in the UK. Hold up. Let me pull this up. And I always wondered what would happen when you have actual intersectional conflict here. So who wins in a battle, Muslims versus LGBTQ? And that's exactly what's happening over in the UK right now. So the story is that it's Birmingham UK elementary school. It was teaching children about LGBTQ, and the principal defended the project, which was called No Outsiders. But there are a lot of parents who are Muslims who were livid that it was being taught in their schools. And so the school dropped the project because hundreds of parents pulled their children from the school to protest it. The Guardian says that the primary school that taught the pupils about, and it, I mean, these are like little, like, I mean, we're talking like very young kids who don't even know how to do algebra, but we're going to tell them all about sex. I mean, kindergartners. They said the primary school that taught pupils about LGBTQ as part of a program has stopped the lessons after hundreds of children were withdrawn by parents in protest. The Parkfield Community School in Saltley, Birmingham, has been the scene of weekly protests over the lessons, which parents claim it's promoting things that with which they disagree, and that their kids are too young to talk about this. So 600 Muslim children ages 4 to 11 were withdrawn from the school for the day. The school would not confirm the number officially. And so now it's intersectionality, the game. It's like Hunger Games. Oh, my word. So they dropped the curriculum. Now, imagine a Christian group doing this, and what do you think that the reaction would be? Any ideas? Just saying. Outrage. Yeah, just saying. Maybe if schools become more proficient in teaching arithmetic and writing and mathematics, then they can start discussing sexuality. But can they get proficient in all the other stuff first, or our test scores aren't lagging? That would be great. Thanks. Quit trying to use them as little pods of experimentation and just, you know, teach the basics. That'd be great. So are they going to protest? Will they protest in response? I think that's the thing. Twitchy asks, are you more willing to be branded homophobic or Islamophobic? See, no, that's what terrifies people. They don't want to be labeled anything. And it scares them. It's Christina Summers called it an intersectional paradox. You have to look at it like a victim ladder. Who is the highest rung on the victim ladder? Koi Kane does not like this. That's how you got to look at it, Kane. It's like playing poker.
Why can't we? Who's doing more right? Like who's? Why can't we just like, okay, is anyone doing anything wrong? And let's stop that. And who's doing right? Let's encourage that.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares what these, you know, intersectionality is? Who cares what the box you've been somehow, you know, identified in? I don't care about any of that.
Yeah.
Pretty simple.
I completely agree. So who wins in that? And then why, again, imagine any other group doing that, and how would that be reacted to? How would they react to that? Would they pull a curriculum? Would they satisfy that particular group? No. No, they wouldn't. And here's a question. Is it considered bigoted because they pulled the curriculum? And they wouldn't for other groups because they're demonstrating a bigotry towards Muslims because they're afraid of them. See, there's so many little offshoot discussions here. So many offshoot discussions. As we move on, I have some other things for you here. So a couple little, where do I want to go first? Because we have some good stuff. Oh, my word. Audio soundbite 17. They were lecturing Secretary Christine Nielsen of DHS on border security yesterday. I have to play this for you. You got to listen to this.
There are those who believe that we already have too many people of color in this country. And these, one of whom happens to be the President of the United States of America, would institute policies that will prevent people of color from coming to this country. White babies would not be treated the way these babies of color are being treated, Madam Secretary. This is about color. We've opened our doors. You're tired. You're poor. Huddled masses yearning to breathe free.
Oh my word. You know what? Except, can I stop in there? Yeah, he says white babies wouldn't be. You know what? If you're suggesting that babies born here in America, yeah, they are. Y'all just voted to protect letting them die and killing them as they are exiting the womb. So yeah, they're actually treated worse. Since when did y'all start caring for babies? Oh, spare me your false indignation. Y'all people, you people do not care. Democrats do not care a thing for babies. You didn't. I can say that confidently. Explain the vote then to deny them care if they survive an abortion. Explain the justification for supporting murdering a child as the mother's dilating, getting ready to have a full-term baby. You guys support that. Oh, suddenly you care about babies. Oh, wait a minute. We love babies. We love them now. No, I don't think so. We have more coming up. We have headlines. CarShield's a great program to check out if you want extended vehicle protection. Car repairs can be costly because cars are costlier, particularly when it concerns manufacturing with all the technology and everything that's involved. So you don't want to be blindsided by a very expensive repair. This is why you need CarShield. They make the process of fixing your car for a covered repair ridiculously easy. You get 24/7 roadside assistance and a rental car while yours is being fixed, which means you can take your car to your favorite mechanic or the dealership, people you trust, it's your choice, and CarShield reimburses them, so you're not on the hook. If your car has 5,000 to 150,000 miles, doesn't mean you got to pay high repair bills. Their administrators have paid out close to $2 billion in claims. They're ready to help you. Save yourself thousands in future car repairs. Get covered by the ultimate in extended vehicle protection. Call 800-CAR-6000. Mention code Dana. Visit CarShield.com. Use code Dana to save 10%. That's CarShield.com. Code Dana or call 800-CAR-6000. A deductible may apply.
Fisking the news media to give you the truth.
It's Dana Lash.
Oh, I love Depeche Mode. Let's kick it in with some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This is kind of terrifying. More Americans under the age of 40 are having heart attacks. Yeah. That's, everybody's been talking about this since Luke Perry. Oh my goodness. Heart attack rates are rising for adults under the age of 40, and researchers found after comparing the data of survivors 41 to 50 with those survivors who were 40 and younger. They say the proportion of patients under age 40 has been climbing 2% every year for the last 10 years. It's the American College of Cardiology's annual scientific session later this month. That comes out later this month. They tried to unearth risk factors. Basically, they said that a lot of that substance abuse
really quickly
shares part of the blame. They said the youngest patients were more likely to use marijuana and cocaine compared to their older ones, even if they drank less alcohol. So it's actually substance abuse. And that's, remember how substance abuse is curtailing our lifespan? Now it's this. Holy cow. Moving on. This comes by way of, this is Daily Wire. Girl Scouts have given their highest award to a girl who organized a pro-abortion campaign to, quote, destigmatize access to women's health care, quote unquote, health care. So that is, yeah, that because they have a relationship with Girl Scouts. Planned Parenthood does. I love the cookies, but that's why I can't buy the cookies. It's sad because I just don't want, I choose to do that. I don't boycott. I just don't want to spend my money on it. So apparently the MyGirlScoutCouncil.com, which has been monitoring the organization for a long time, they discovered that the Girl Scouts of Southern Arizona honored a scout for her volunteer work on what they called, quote, reproductive health justice. The girl, recently profiled in a Tucson publication, received the Gold Award, the highest honor for her work for Girl Scouts, and it involved working with the Women's March and its affiliate in Tucson and to educate people to destigmatize women going to get abortions and that. Oh my gosh, yeah. That's why, I'm sorry, I see the little girls out there with their cookies. I just can't buy the cookies because I don't know, however, it's, I just don't want to even accidentally support anything like that. A town proposes jail time for dog owners if their dogs bark nonstop. Of course it's in New Jersey. Now, you can train your dog. I think, you know, people need to make sure that they're training their dog and they're giving their dog clear boundaries. But this is something stupid. They said that it would get strict at night, penalties kicking in for barking lasting more than 15 minutes from 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. Dog owners who break the new rules could face fines between $100 and $1,000 or even prison time or community service. Okay, this is ridiculous. Come on, New Jersey. That's stupid. We have more in store. Don't go anywhere.
Stream the podcasts. Tell your Amazon device, Alexa, play the Dana Show podcast.
Hi, everyone. I have some news to share with all of you, and it's in keeping with my longtime policy of being open and transparent with our Jeopardy fan base. I also wanted to prevent you from reading or hearing some overblown or inaccurate reports regarding my health. So therefore, I wanted to be the one to pass along this information. Now, just like 50,000 other people in the United States each year, this week I was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Now, normally the prognosis for this is not very encouraging, but I'm going to fight this, and I'm going to keep working, and with the love and support of my family and friends, and with the help of your prayers also, I plan to beat the low survival rate statistics for this disease.
Gosh,
truth told,
Alex,
I have to, because under the terms of my contract, I have to host Jeopardy for 3 more years. So help me, keep the faith, and we'll win. We'll get it done. Thank you.
He's awesome. Dang. I love Alex Trebek. I like his voice. He is, I think, one of the last people out there who is neutral on television that you trust enough to invite into your home through your television every day. When I was a kid, I loved watching Jeopardy. I loved it because when I was in school, like junior high and high school, by the time I got home, it was like already almost half over. And I think it was because it was like 3:30 or 4 that it came on. I don't remember. No, maybe it was 4 because I had practice in that. By the time I came home, it was already almost over. But during the summer, I loved it. And the theme song, it was, you know how you have those shows that sound like a certain time of the day? Like that theme song sounded like, it's like 3 or 4 o'clock. It sounded that like late afternoon.
And The Price is Right for me.
Yeah. And then how, for instance, some of the news shows in the evening, those themes sound like in the, you know, that's, oh, it's nighttime. I don't know. He just seems to be, because I don't, he seems to be one of the last people that you would really trust in an era where the people who sit on the desks at television, their motivations are questioned. And a lot of people have lost their faith in the art of reporting. And even though he has fun hosting a game show, it's a game show about facts. It's a game show that has ombudsmen that check to make sure it was either delivered properly or that the entire answer was correct. And he's just a very trustworthy individual. If I had the time and ability to do it, I would love to see how he would poll against, you know, just like the trustworthiness in Alex Trebek. And he had that voice. His voice is awesome. So he has a great voice. And you know how his voice hasn't changed by the passage of time? A lot of people's become gravelier or deeper, or rougher. It changes somehow, a little bit more throatier. I don't know how to describe it. His hasn't. His hasn't at all. The only thing that has changed has been it sounds maybe perhaps louder and more rounded because of the advancement of technology and television and speakers and how you listen. But I don't know. I always thought that about him. I watched throughout the summer because I was a latchkey kid, and I was, you know, especially when I was younger, I was home by myself every single day in the summer, every single day. When I was too young to drive, really, it was just me by myself all day, alone every day. And I always look forward to Alex Trebek because it was like a parent was home. But that's sad. I thought the sweetest thing that he said was that he and his wife have been married for like 29 years. And he had said that he wishes that he had met her sooner, so they had more time together, which I thought was really awesome. So our prayers are with Alex Trebek. And he delivered it so how many people could deliver something like that so evenly? He's just, you cannot ruffle him. That's the other thing.
Because pancreatic cancer is bad. Stage four pancreatic cancer is the worst that you could have.
Yeah.
And the survivability rate is like single digit percentages.
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. It's sad. So our prayers are with him and his family. And hopefully this is something he can beat those statistics on that. So that'd be awesome to see. The switch gears, take it back to some politics. The former president, Barack Obama, said earlier today, he was at a corporate summit, this is via The Hill, that he really empathizes with Americans who have to pay a high tax rate. But he says he insists on paying the max tax. That's not what reports were. He says that because his tax returns were public, he wouldn't have been able to take advantage of any loopholes. He said that he was happy to contribute, however. He goes, I don't enjoy writing big checks to the Treasury any more than you do. And he goes, but I insist upon it. Well, here's the thing. If you want to pay more, then pay more. No one has to, you shouldn't have to have the government to force you. This is what I find so interesting by people who talk about raising taxes and how they really want to pay more. Then pay more. Why do you think it's only generous if the government forces you? Why do you think that you're not being charitable unless the government forces you to do it? If you really want to pay more, then why wouldn't you just pay more already? It's virtue signaling to say that you feel like everyone should pay more, but you're not going to because it's just, you know, or to suggest that everyone should pay more, but to give no indication that you're going to voluntarily do so unless government passes a law that increases tax rates or they increase the rates or they do something else. You can do it voluntarily. How many people have you heard say this? So many of these lawmakers. Pay your fair share. I want to pay my fair share. They all virtue signal. And yet, what? They all have, I guarantee you, for him, oh my heavens, I bet I pay more than he does. I bet he takes advantage of them loopholes now. He didn't say that he didn't. You know, Joe Biden does. You know, Nancy Pelosi does and Elizabeth Warren. All of those folks do. So why wouldn't, This is what gets me. I mean, this idea that you're being generous because you virtue signal, but you don't actually do it. That's not being generous or charitable or anything. None of it. Also, the other thing, where's the story at? Which is kind of crazy. Former sheriff of Parkland, Scott Israel, he says that he is suing. He wants to file. He's filing suit to get his job back.
You sure he wants to do that?
The sheriff, yes. The former sheriff, Scott Israel, says he's going to sue. He's going to try to take on Ron DeSantis because he wants his job back, he says. And he was removed by the governor. This is WSVN. They said that he filed a court order against Governor DeSantis. And they say that he's accusing them of like, apparently he's trying to paint himself as the victim. The DeSantis' spokesperson, Helen Fair, said, quote, "It's lamentable that Scott Israel refuses to be held accountable for his actions and continues to hold disregard for the law." The governor suspended this former sheriff in accordance with Florida constitutional authority, citing neglect of duty and incompetence in both Parkland, the slayings in Parkland, and the criminal act at Fort Lauderdale Airport in 2017. Now, the Florida legislature, they're reviewing the matter, and the Senate president has appointed a special master to preside over the hearing on the suspension that they think it'll take place next month. And he's mad. He said there's no constitutional bias for his suspension. And DeSantis, remember when he held that press conference, he said, look, the failures of the former sheriff are really well documented. So let's not do that. And they learned at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Commission, and I talked to the chair of that commission, the sheriff of Pinellas County, Bob Gualtieri, and they learned that that Israel's office had received and disregarded calls in 2016 and in 2017 warning that this murderer was a potential school shooter. Deputies had 20 contacts with him. They had to be called out 20 times to him. And he's like, I didn't do nothing wrong. That guy sat on stage with me and he blamed me. He said, you don't want to do anything to keep these kids safe. Yeah, if I had your job, I would have done the job. Here's what's weird. And by the way, I'm going to tell you something. I can forgive, but oh, I don't forget. And I'm not up to forgiving yet on this. It's not. Somebody emailed me claiming to be his son. I've never talked about it publicly. Yeah. Did you see that? Did I show you? Yeah, I should. Somebody emailed me saying that, claiming to be his son, and it had his name on the email account and all of that, saying that they'd really appreciate a conversation. This is your answer. No. Stay gone. No. Yeah, that's it. No, you don't get to sit on stage with me and blame me for your incompetency and then think you're going to come back. If that was really, which I think it may have been. I don't know. It's not confirmed. But if that's the case, no, you don't blame me for your incompetency. And then afterwards, after you're disgraced, try to walk back and have a conversation. Even before we were on stage together, he was blaming me. And even without me, no, you don't get to have a conversation after you did what you did. And you had multiple opportunities to take this murderer out. I was absolutely right when I sat on that stage and I said, you could have Baker acted him. Oh, he could have. And you know what? Numerous prosecutors in Florida agreed with me. Florida Sun Sentinel wrote about it. They agreed with me. Because what this murderer did, more than once, by the way, he violated a law, digital death threats, saying he's going to shoot people, telling people he's going to shoot him in text message and over the internet. And Florida statute treats that as a felony. He would never have been able to, and that was before he purchased his firearms. And the sheriff's office was aware of it because they were told that was part of those calls. Yep. Ain't nobody done nothing. Oh, but you're going to get up there and try to save your A double snakes and blame me? And then if that was his offspring wanting to have a conversation, who do you think I am? Predators need to be afraid. And people who are culpable because of their incompetency should be shamed. And you better take your shaming and stay gone. I've become very good friends with a number of the families there. And I don't want to have them be afraid that the people who allowed this to happen resume power. A grand jury convenes next month. The school board voted to protect Robert Runcie as superintendent, which they knew they would. I talked to Andy Pollack yesterday, and he said, I knew they would. He goes, I was surprised. We got 3 votes against him. It's all corrupt. And by the way, this is the second time that grand jury's had to come in on the Broward school board. Second time. It is that corrupt. And they're going to make a decision about Runcie, and I hope they do the right thing. They have the authority to. We have Today in Stupidity on the way, and we're going to get to moving that. Super Beats is going to help kickstart your day, and it can also help you finish the day too. Like, you can take it as late as like 3 o'clock, and you're not gonna be up all night, and you're not gonna crash because this isn't. We're not talking about have stuff loaded with caffeine or processed sugar or anything like that. It's a quick and healthy thing that you can do. You don't have to go to the energy drinks. You don't have to do any of that. Try 4 ounces of water and a scoop of Super Beets. It's it. It's 1 teaspoon. That's how much the scoop equates to. Beets are loaded with nitrates, dietary nitrates. It's a proven thing by science. It won a Nobel Prize, all this research about it, in 1998. Because nitrates, when it's consumed in your body, your body changes that to nitric oxide, and that's what makes your arteries wide and flexible. It increases your circulation, it helps to support healthy blood pressure. That's how you get your energy, because the nutrients are able to get to where they need to go faster. Now, the drying process that they use eliminates the taste. Why do they use a drying process? Because you can't cook beets and save the concentration of those nitrates. Heat destroys nitrates. So they have a cold process that they use to dry it out. I don't know why, but it eliminates the dirt taste, and I hate beets more than anyone else on earth hates anything that is a food. And I take it. I had 4 ounces this morning. Actually, I had a little bit more than 4 ounces this morning. Some days, if I'm like barely making it, I'll just dump it in my mouth. I'm not even going to lie on that, because I spilled it on me once. Anyway, so very, very easy to do. And it's one of the best things that you can do for your body. Try it risk-free for 90 days. Just visit danasbeets.com. Get a special offer. You'll even get a free 30-day supply of Super Beets with your first order at danasbeets.com. Nitric oxide indicator strips, free as well, to test your nitric oxide levels. You're going to be shocked at what you find. It's not as high as, but you can tell a difference when you've been doing it. And I can tell when I haven't been doing it for a few days. Visit danasbeets.com or call 800-664-5617 and get your order.
To hear today's full show, subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on your device to catch anything you may have missed.
That my colleague from Wisconsin, I know he did not mean to offend the many, many thousands upon thousands of Nickelback fans in his district in Wisconsin. I'll stand here to save you from doing that and have to face the political consequences at the ballot box. I enjoy getting debating back and forth, and it's always good to have some good humor on the floor of the House. And yes, I actually do have a Nickelback song on my running playlist that I listen to on a regular basis, and was ridiculed by that when I posted my playlist one time. And I know some in this chamber, even up at the dais, are still laughing about that. But
that's Rodney Davis, Republican out of Illinois, right?
Yes.
So I think we need to repeal him. You guys need to recall that man. He's a kid. I have to say I'm kidding, or other people will be like, really, Dana?
In Illinois, to be a Republican, it's already a bad.
Yeah, Nickelback's the least of his problems.
Right.
Good night. Oh, my word. Look at this graph. I just can't. Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. So, they're apparently supposed to be taking the vote on the hate. They're having, it's like an episode of The Office to watch people in Congress. Should we, how do you workshop that? What's that sound like? Should we condemn the hate? I don't think we can condemn it. We need to say something. We can't say we don't like it. It's not nice. That's good. It's not too strong. Hate's strong. It's a solid position. We don't want to see us being, as taking a solid position on hate. Right. So just say you dislike it. It's perfect. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
Well, it'll have to be Nancy Pelosi on her defense of Ilhan Omar.
Oh.
It's kind of a long cut, so we may not
be able to play. White woman says the minority is too stupid.
Yeah, what she says in the beginning is really the stupid stuff, so let's just get to that.
Does she need to apologize?
Well, she may need to explain that she did not. It's up to her to explain, but I do not believe that she understood the full weight of the words.
Oh,
no. Say when you're Congress,
she just doesn't have the ability to understand stuff. Yeah. I didn't know that was it. So
no.
Ilhan Omar just...
Let's put her on a very important committee.
Lacks the ability to understand.
Yay.
That's a shame.
Yeah, there you go right there. Folks, that does it for us today. Have a great night. We'll be back with you tomorrow.